Our topic today deals with Russia's invasion of the Ukraine, and in particular, Africa's reaction or its perceived lack of response, and what some critics claim is neglect in playing its part in upholding the values and principles of good governance internationally. Well, joining me to discuss some of the implications of the crisis in Ukraine for Africa is Dr. Ross Javier, Director of Research and Programs. Give us a quick overview of some of the governance implications of the crisis that we're currently witnessing in the Ukraine.
At a global level, it's very clear that Putin has violated every governance standard that has come to define our relatively stable global order since the end of the Cold War in 1989. Unfortunately for African countries, the impact of this violation of governance stability, relative governance stability hitherto, is highly destructive. African countries, unfortunately, are relatively precarious at present, especially in the wake of COVID-19 and the rising coup frequency that we've seen in West Africa and the Sahel. Now, Russians' behavior has brought into question the whole point of having a United Nations Security Council, given that Russia is a permanent member.
Yep.
And has made a nonsense of that particular institution.
What you describe as international governance norms, for example, like this a concept of sovereignty, and I imagine territorial integrity. Take us through that. What exactly do we mean?
There is no such thing as a global government. The nearest thing we have to it is a mutual respect, if you like, across nations for territorial integrity, which is the basis on which the nation state is built. And of course, the system is, if you like, according to realists, anarchic. And the United Nations is one of the institutions that we have, perhaps the foremost, that ensures that territorial integrity as the basis of the nation state is actually maintained.
You know, this idea of some kind of global order doesn't seem to pertain in the international system. If that's the case, it makes a mockery of what you've just told us.
Yeah, I think it's probably fair to say that Putin has made a mockery of it, and he's done so, surprisingly, in a way that seems to me a strategic miscalculation, because while it is the case that ultimately the global order that we've come to see since 1989 is technically anarchic, it has been stable simply on the grounds that invading another nation's territory and violating their sovereignty has never really been in the interests of any other sovereign state.
Has it, Dr. Harvey? Because, you know, if I just give you an example of Iraq, where we saw the United States going in ostensibly because there were weapons of mass destruction, wasn't that an invasion?
Yes, indeed. And so Western hypocrisy is being shown up in this particular instance as well. I think what that has taught us, similar to the US's presence in Afghanistan, necessary in part because of Russia's foray into that country too, has shown us that top-down imposition of governance norms will not work either. And one could make the argument that the West is reaping the fruits of destruction that it has sown over the course of many years for the sake of attaining cheap energy. But by and large, one would have to say that the data tells us that we've had relative global stability on the basis of nation states since 1989.
When we look at South Africa, where we're both speaking from right now, in 1993, President Nelson Mandela seemed to introduce a more idealistic foreign policy that brought into play principles that you've just shared with us. Could you take us through that?
So one of the defining moments, if you like, of South Africa's new dispensation was the very clear enunciation by President Mandela that South Africa's foreign policy is to be guided by the principles enshrined in our constitution, which remains one of the most progressive, in the best sense of that word, constitutions in the world. And that is that our foreign policy should be guided by human rights, and by the rule of law, which is an evasive but critical concept. It underpins what you and I mean by good governance at Good Governance Africa. And of course, the rule of law will always be necessarily violated if another nation invades another sovereign state.
South Africa, Dr. Harvey, seemed to abstain in the recent United Nations Security Council vote on the matter of Ukraine. How do you explain the contradiction and incoherence of South Africa's foreign policy? Or is it incoherence?
We've seen, unfortunately, from South Africa, its voting pattern at the United Nations has generally been to side with Russia and China. The fact that we abstained it requires a number of comments. One, this is not in our nation's best strategic interests. And I think what that shows you then, secondly, is that there is a disjunct between the ruling party, the ruling coalition's perception of its interests in contradiction to the state's best interests. And it seems to me that those in power are making decisions on the basis of what they perceive to be their personal best interests as it aligns to the party rather than to the interests of the nation state. That is the only explanation that I can plausibly find to account for the shocking inability to stand up against what is frankly bullying and a threat, a very serious threat to the global order.
The questions that are lingering in our mind is why many of the African countries, especially South Africa, voted in the manner in which they did during the United Nations Security Council vote on Ukraine.
There's that struggle iconology. I mean, in South Africa, you've got the South African Communist Party, which enjoys a powerful position in the political landscape, but to a great extent in Southern Africa. I mean, you've got the Mozambican flag and the Angolan flag, one which boasts the Communist Party of the Soviet Union's colors, and the other an AK-47. So it speaks to the deep ties that are shared within these countries and their solidarity with Russia.
Do they share common values around questions like democracy, territorial integrity, sovereignty, to the extent that they would support the Russian cause?
Values of human rights, democracy, accountability don't get much precedence in as far as the Russian connection and investment is concerned. The question of values has been a sore point throughout our history, where we have to balance economic interests and the noble ideals which we had envisioned our foreign policy to look to. And that sort of played out in different ways throughout our democratic trajectories.
A large number of African countries voted to say Russia was in the wrong. Mm. And this is a lot more African countries than we saw in 2014 when Russia invaded Crimea.
What are some of the economic drivers that could have possibly positioned the vote that we saw?
The one state in Africa that voted in support of Russia was Eritrea. And Eritrea made their argument that we're sanctioned by the US. In the case of Nigeria, which is a country that voted against, there is a $14 million deal for an iron processing factory. Nigeria could be perceived as acting against its own interests. However, what this is showing is that the economic ties that you might have to Russia do not necessarily mean or demonstrate how you will vote.
What are the possible opportunities, maybe, and risks that could emerge for Africa as a result of Ukraine?
$3.5 billion worth of wheat was imported to Africa from Russia in 2020. And it's important to see that this loss of the supply is going to have an impact on African countries which are already struggling with famine and issues around food security. Now, there are opportunities for countries such as South Africa where we could start to export a lot more maize. Equally, we have opportunities in the global supply chain for coal. The sanctions on Russia are now putting major limiting issues and challenges on nickel production. Countries in Africa which produce nickel will be able to have the opportunity to step up. However, it is also worth noting that as the oil price increases, this will lead and push inflation in terms of transportation costs and such.
What a fascinating conversation, looking into the implications that is at the international level of the crisis in Ukraine for Africa. I think some of the key takeouts when we focus on governance is the crucial importance, especially at the international level, for states to respect territorial integrity, sovereignty, and the right to self-determination and independence. Clearly, key values which Russia seemingly has flouted as we look into their conduct in relation to the war that is currently being waged by Russia in Ukraine. So please comment and leave your thoughts in the comment section below. Remember to like and share and subscribe to our channel and join us again for the next GGA Conversation.
Thank you.